Well, good morning, Kilmarnock. It's a joy and a pleasure to be back in your midst here again to bring the good news of the gospel, the glad tidings. All the good news that there is in Kilmarnock today, believe me, the good news, God's Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world that we might be brought to a knowing of God, that we might be brought to know, to experience the love of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Many, of course, in these days don't want to know the Savior, but He is still the same, as the Bible itself says. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change His power, His love, His grace, His kindness, His pleasure. None of it changes, always and ever the same, and still mighty to save, able to save to the uttermost. The Bible says all those that come to God by Him, and of course we must come by Him, because the Bible also says that there is no other name by which we can come to Him. None other name under the whole canopy of heaven. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, His written Word, that is, I've got a gospel booklet here, an extract from the Bible. I've got full Bibles, New Testaments. God's written Word offered to you quite freely, and without cost or without obligation to you. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, feel free to come and ask for one. If you've got a question, I don't have the answers to all your philosophical dilemmas, but I do believe I have the answer to the most important question, and that is, how does a body get right with God? If you are downcast, if you're in trouble, you would like somebody to pray for you, then I would be very happy to do that also. Do please come and speak to us if you will. But the Word of God was given to you. It's about God's salvation. It's not about making men religious. God forbid that anybody should become religious, because I'm here speaking to you today. That's not the purpose at all. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us clearly, came into the world not to make men religious. He came to save them, to rescue them, and to rescue them from our very worst and known danger, that of our own sinful natures and hearts. Because the basis of the problem, you see, is that we are all of us, every single one, every man, woman, and child born into this world, conceived in sin, born in sin. And of course, while we live in that state and condition and go out of it, unless that is by the grace of God, we are brought to salvation. The Bible, you could liken it to a promise from God. Here's my Son, He says. You take Him, you believe in Him, and I save you, deliver you from that sinful nature, change it, break, cancel the power of sin, set you free from it, to set us free from the, even from the wickedness of our hearts of unbelief. Even if you had never thought, done, or said anything wrong in all your life, you would still be, from God's perspective, you would still be a wicked, unbelieving sinner. The wickedness of our unbelieving hearts, that's what keeps us from God. That's what keeps us from His love. But God has made known His love to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He gave Him up to the death of the cross, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, die in their sin, that is, and go to a lost eternity, but in the love of God, know the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the deliverance, the salvation of God. And the thing, of course, wasn't done in a corner, privately, secretly. It was done out in the open before the whole world. God sent His Son into the world to be crucified, dead and buried, and raised again from the dead. That a creature like you, made by God, but a rebel against God, separated, alienated from God because of your sins, so that you might be brought back to God, know God, experience, that is, the knowledge of God and of His love in Jesus Christ. So, you see, my friends, I can say unequivocally, I can say here amongst you in Kilmarnock, all over Scotland today even, I can say without any shadow of a doubt, God has revealed His love, that God loved, God has a love for all mankind, and Jesus Christ is dead for sinners, and the gospel is proclaimed, is preached amongst you here today, and so therefore, you people of Kilmarnock, you have the justification, you have the warrant to believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. There's nothing hinders and nothing keeps you from the love of God but your unbelief. So I call upon you today to be done with it, to repent of it, to turn from your unbelief, and to believe in it, to trust in God's promise, His word, His salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for the ungodly, who died for the unrighteous, who died for sinners. He came, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not to make you healthy, not to make you wealthy, not to make you prosperous, but to save us from the worst danger of all, our sin, and what it does to us in this world, and what it will do to us in the world to come, because there's a world to come. Eternity's coming, and death is not the end. It's appointed for man once to die, but after that, then following that, hard on the heels of that, then comes the judgment of God. So death is not the end. You close your eyes in death, and you open them on the other side, and you're faced with the judge of all the earth, the one who made you, who gave you your being, and who requires of you that you glorify Him with your life, with your entire being, that you trust in Him, that you love Him, and that you obey Him. Not to do those things, that's what the Bible calls sin, and calls us, every one of us, yourself included, to repent of that sin, and put your trust, your faith, your confidence in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His person, and what He has done, what He has accomplished in dying, suffering, bleeding, and dying in the place of sinners, and rising again from the dead to conquer, defeat sin, death, and hell on the behalf of those who believe, those who trust in Him. Trust in Jesus today and come to a knowledge of God's love. How you doing, sir? And a good name. No talking. So my friends, call upon the name of the Lord, and He assures you, you will not be ashamed, put to shame. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall not be disappointed, but surprised by the amazing grace of God. Word of God for you here today, the psalmist, a righteous man, a godly man. He says, I have seen a wicked and ruthless man. Plenty of them about in Kilmarnock today, eh? I've seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Because the wicked pass away. And every day and generation. But listen up, will you, Kilmarnock? God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that's the end of the wicked man. That's the end of all men. But that's the end That's the end. Not the end for the wicked man. Following that, then comes the judgment. Then he stands before God. So in his wickedness, he might boast in his wickedness. He might trample over you in his wickedness. He might violate other people. He might indeed be a ruthless, wicked man. But his end is judgment. That's the end of us all. We must all appear before the judgment throne of God. Must all appear before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is not your Savior, he will be your judge. One or the other. He's the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world and would take away your sin today. He says, he tells us in the Bible, he said, I didn't come to kill, I didn't come to destroy. Men, ruthless, wicked men do that. I didn't come to kill, I didn't come to destroy, I didn't come to judge, I didn't come to condemn, I came to save men. Even Jesus Christ amongst you here today does not judge, does not condemn you. He doesn't have to. We're already, every single one of us, we're already condemned. We come into the world as sinners and we live and die as sinners unless by the grace of God we're saved, unless we believe, unless we trust in, put our confidence in the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ, in his person and what he has done. For be assured of it, the end of the wicked. I sought him and he could not be found. Why? Because he's gone away to judgment. The moment you breathe your last, that's the very next thing that you encounter. In fact, that's the very next thing marked on God's calendar, the judgment of the world. But God sent his Son into the world that you might not face that judgment of condemnation. This is a righteous man. A righteous man is speaking. I seen the wicked, but he passed away. He was no more. I sought him, but he could not be found. That's the wicked. But the righteous man, his trust is in God. His trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. His trust is in the one who made them righteous. His righteousness is not of himself. No man is righteous of himself. We are all unrighteous, ungodly, unholy, alienated and separated from God because of our sinful natures. And that's why Jesus says, you know, in another place, he says you must be born again. He says you must enter in through the narrow gate. You must be born again. Those natures have to be changed. And that's not something that you can do. That's not something we can accomplish. Only God himself can accomplish that. But God would have you to seek him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy, abundantly pardon. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest shall be added to you. Your duty, your bounden duty, in hearing the gospel, to seek the Lord while he may be found, while you have the breath of life in you, while you're able to, while you've got the presence of mind to, before the memory goes, before the dementia comes, you know, and you're not able to use the faculties of your mind anymore to seek the Lord. Open the pages of God's Word. Read the Bible. Read the message of the Gospel. Read the old story of Jesus and his love. How he came from heaven. How he came down into this sin-cursed world and to be taken by the hands of men. Cruel, wicked, vicious men. And nailed to that cross. But all in the will of God. All planned of God. In order that you might be saved. That you might be rescued. That you might be made the righteousness of God in him. Through trusting in him. Believing in him. Turning away. Turning away from all. Everything. what the Bible calls repentance. Turning away from everything and all that you know to be contrary to God. That's what wickedness is. You don't have to be extremely ruthless or violent in order to be, you know, termed a wicked person. A wicked person in the Bible, from God's point of view, is somebody who is contrary to God. That's what it means to be ungodly. And here we are, contrary to God in our natures, contrary to God in our practice, contrary to God in every which way. And so therefore, in your ungodliness, separated from God, alienated from God, and from His love, from His grace, from His favor, all the blessings of God kept from you. But in Jesus Christ, in the love of God, God so loved the world, God so loved you, Kilmarnock, that He gave His only Son and gave Him up to the death of the cross, that you might be delivered, that you might be saved from that unrighteous, from that ungodly, and that you might be changed, transforming. It's a transforming love of God in the gospel. That's its power. It's the power of God's love and loving rebels such as you and I, wicked sinners, unclean and separated, untouchable. Even our very best, God says, is unacceptable in His sight. A righteousness is, that's your very best deeds, that's your very best efforts. He says, I'm like filthy rags in the sight of God. That's your very best, Kilmarnock. But that God should so love Kilmarnock sinners, give His Son His very best, the apple of His eye, you might say, to give His only Son and give Him up to the death of the cross, in order that you might be delivered from the wicked, from that which is contrary to God, from that which is unclean, from that is not what the sin is. That is not how many the sin. That is not how unclean they be. That is not how disgusting they might be to your fellow man. Sin comes in all forms and shapes. Here in the Bible you can read the Ten Commandments of God. No other gods before me. What does man do? He invents heathen religion. God says, no idols, no idolatry. What does man do? He makes himself an idol factory. He invents idols and worships them, even the idol of self. And then he goes on to say, you shall not commit adultery, every form of sexual immorality known to man. You shall not kill. We're never done murdering, killing one another. The unborn, the aged, the terminally ill. Killing all the day long. Sin, my friends, is any want of conformity to God's law.
Hallelujah.
Nature, sinful nature, sir. And sinful practice to go with it. How do you do, sir?
Have a good day. Jesus Christ is equal man. He's always been here. But people don't see it, do they?
No, they don't, do you?
Yeah. Oh, I see it right.
So you're a Christian man?
I'm very Christian. The last day of 1999, whole coast, Soul Coast Harvest Cross.
Put your hand there, then.
The first person I prayed for went to Betel to a rehab and ended up becoming a pastor and a director.
Oh,
no, David, he's back in my life now.
Okay.
And we're starting up our own kind of. We're selling powers. And everybody's on that now. I'm off a wicked methadone. I've put the tract into starting up Adi Slides Matter.
Right. Yeah.
I've just watched it witness to myself going right through it. I've got my leg nearly ripped off.
Right.
Thank goodness to the Lord.
people with.
Hey, I was in both wheels. My wife thought it was a traffic cone getting dragged up the street. It was me, it's on the YouTube. And in fact, there's something because I was in a church in Gabriel, and then when I left there, he just called my dad. And he says, oh, what do you mean? Oh, there's a lot of wanted things. I went, God knows. He didn't know where he was, son. I went, God knows. And the pastor, Adam from Gabriel, pastor.
Okay, God knows. Oh, have a good day, sir. Eh? Nice
yourself, listen. If God will praise your past, he does.
Yeah.
But remember, driftwood recycling life in brackets.
Okay.
The two boys have got working for me, both on Esplanade.
Right.
And all they're doing about collecting pallets. £8 to £10 you get for that.
Right. Okay. Well, bless you.
I had some banking shit.
Okay, so I'm going to get on.
Have
a good day, Have a good day. So like I say, friends, the love of God, the heart of God's love transforming, changing the saved in the gospel. But here's the thing, you see, only in the gospel, only in Jesus, only in the Son of God, can the love of God be received. All the blessings that God has for humankind. Many people, they want the peace of God. They want the forgiveness of God. They want the joy. They want the happiness, you know, that the gospel speaks about. But they don't want Jesus. They don't want Jesus. They don't like him. They won't receive him. They'll receive others who come in their name, but they won't receive Jesus. Well, if you don't receive Jesus, you don't get the blessings. You can't have the blessings. You can't have the benefits without the benefactor, without Jesus. He alone can bring the blessings of God to you. The peace of God. The joy inexpressible. And the forgiveness. The cleansing, the deliverance from the wickedness, from the evil of our hearts, conceived in sin, born in sin, and live in sin. And out of those sinful natures and hearts of ours comes nothing but sin, nothing but death and carnage and ruin. That's where all the ruin in the world it comes from. All the brokenness in your world, in your society, in the town of Kilmarnock today, it's where it all comes from. All the hurt, all the violence, the wickedness, out of the hearts of men. But God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to die on the cross, rise again from the dead, in order that your heart might be changed, transformed. The gospel's the only means by which the heart can be changed. Religion won't do that for you. Religion cannot do that for you. Dead religion does nothing for a dead heart. The heart must be made alive, working again by the love, by the power of God's love working in the gospel. That's why it's called the power of God to salvation for everyone, for everyone who believes, for everyone who receives, for everyone who takes Jesus offered to you, presented, set forth before you here today in the town of Kilmarnock. Take him, believe on him, receive him, and you receive the blessing of God, the authority, the right to become a child of God. Change from being a child of wrath into a child of God. Came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But those who did receive him, to them he gave, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Through faith in the Son of God, receiving. But understand, will you, the death of the wicked It's appointed for man to die once. After that, then comes the judgment. That's the end of the wickedness. All men faced with the judgment of God. Death is inescapable. Judgment is inevitable. Suffering in the world. People come with the question to me constantly, asking me, they say, why is there, if God is, why is there suffering? That's the wrong question. Why is there not more suffering? We're so wicked, we're so evil-hearted, we're so ruthless with one another, we're so sinful. It's a wonder that there's not more suffering than there is. But God, in the greatness, the immensity of His love, sending His Son into the world to die for your sins, Kilmarnock, to die for your sins. Hello, Angus. How you doing, sir?
I wish I'd been.
That you might be saved. Salvation, the promise of God, it is one for the wicked. Okay. For the wicked unbelieving, for you Kilmarnock sinners, whoever you be, girls, whatever stripe of sin you're into, there's a way out, there's a way back. God's love. You don't even love yourselves, do you? But God does. God loves you. Christ is dead for your sins. He rose again from the dead to deliver you from them, to make you right with God, so that you know the love of God, girls. Come on, get real. Get life. Go to Jesus. He'll give you life. That's not life that you've got now. That's just existence. You want life? Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Is that what you got in you? Come on, girls. Come and talk to me. You got abundant life in you? Have you? Huh? Ah, you haven't. But you could have today. You receive Jesus and you receive the life. It's simple. It's not rocket science. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to be smart, you know. You just reach out the hand of faith and you take Jesus and you get the love and you get the life and you get the joy of God's salvation and forgiveness too. So be sure that's the end. That's the death of the wicked. But hear me, or rather hear God's word. I take no pleasure, he says, in the death of the wicked. It's not pleasing to God that you should die in your sin. Jesus said to the Jews on one occasion, he said, if you do not believe that I am he, the Messiah, the Son of God, if you do not believe that I am he says, you'll die in your sins. Jesus wept over those people. He shed tears over them. He sheds tears over the town of Kilmarnock today. He would have you to know peace with God. He would have you to know the love of God. He would have you to know that life and love, that salvation. It takes no pleasure. No pleasure at all in God's mind and God's thinking over the death of the wicked. It's not what he would have for you. He so loved the world he gave his Son. Went to these lengths. In the immensity, I tell you, God's love is like an ocean bigger than you could ever imagine. And one drop, I tell you, of that love of God into your heart this day, this afternoon, Kilmarnock, would change you and change you forever. The transforming power of God's love. Then you will be able to love yourself properly. Then you will be able to respect yourself. And then you will be able to live, to love God, to enjoy Him and glorify Him, the very purpose for which He made you. That's why you're here. Maybe you've asked that question a time or two. You know, maybe you've thought, you know, in a quieter moment. Maybe you're lying in bed at night and you think to yourself, what am I doing here? What do I exist for? To glorify God. To glorify God and to enjoy Him. To enjoy His love. To enjoy his favor, to enjoy his pleasure, his kindness. Enjoyment. I'm not talking about religion. There's no enjoyment there. There's nothing but misery there. You look at religious people, Roman Catholic, Islam, you know, the Watchtower Society, they're all miserable people. There's no joy, there's no happiness there. Religion, Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy. Religion does that. Religion kills and destroys. Religion kills and destroys. Jesus, I have come that you might have life. Joy, no matter. I am home. This is my home. Get off my case, woman. So, come on, reception, reception, reception. You receive others. Some politician come here, you know, telling you stuff. You would receive them. If somebody from the LGBT community came here telling you something about their stuff, you would receive them. And you would receive them gladly. You would receive everything that they had to say. I come, I tell you about Jesus, and you won't receive Jesus. So it's not your inability to receive. It's because you don't want to receive. But if you don't receive him, well, you're left with the wickedness, you're left with the sin, you're left with the judgment, you're left with the condemnation. But you receive Jesus, you receive salvation, and the condemnation, the threat of judgment is gone from you. And you're set free, liberated to live like you never lived before. So, the death of the wicked, inescapable, and judgment, inevitable. So he goes on to say in the psalmist, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. His trust is in the Lord. Waits upon the Lord. That's what it means to trust. Wait upon the Lord is to trust in him. To trust in him and to be of good courage is the answer to fear. Man's fear. Over and over again we have this admonition in the Bible not to be afraid, not to fear. We're fearful creatures. We fear one another. We fear our fellow man. Fear not, says God. Over and over again, Jesus, he says, don't fear man, he says, fear God, the one who has the ability not just to kill your body, but cast your soul into hell forever. It's God that we ought to fear. And if you fear God, well, there's nobody else to fear, is there? I mean, if God is on your side, if you're trusting in God, the maker of heaven and earth, and the God of providence, I mean, who can harm you? Who can touch you? If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. No, you're all, you become untouchable, inviolable, unbreakable. Nobody can touch you, nobody can lay a finger on you. But once you belong to God, and nothing can separate you from him and from his love. It's forever love. It's everlasting love. As opposed, that is, to everlasting flames, the fires of hell. Unquenchable fires in hell are the unquenchable love of God in heaven for the one to waiting upon, trusting in God for his salvation. God is good. God is good, Kilmarnock. God is very good. And I say, I testify before you here publicly this afternoon in your own town. In spite of all the earthquakes, the wars, the famine, the violence in the world, all the wickedness that you behold, and the hands of men. God is good. But we are not. You're not. We're the very opposite. Yes, sir, that's correct, sir. Teach your daughter these things, sir, and she'll grow up to be a godly woman. Yeah? You're responsible for that, sir. God will hold you to account for it. So like I say, we are not. We are the problem. Man's the problem, not God. But of course you want somebody to blame, don't you? It's the language of Adam. It's always somebody else. Wasn't me, it was my wife. Wasn't me, it was my son. Wasn't me, it was my daughter. Huh? Wasn't me, it was my fault. It was God's fault. Huh? Oh, it's somebody else to blame. Never you. Never us. Never we. We are the problem. Humanity, people. We are the problem. It's not the oil. And it's not the animals. It's not the creatures, great and small. It's us, men and women, made in the image of God. But images in God that have been marred, have been broken, spoiled because of sin. It's the sin factor in us. It's in our DNA. It's the very fabric of your being. It's all that you are, Commander. Walking, breathing, talking sinner. God is an indictment against you. You're a sinner. But a sinner loved of God. You might go out of the world unsaved, but you don't go out of the world unloved. There's somebody who loves you. God loves you. Christ is dead for your sins. He's alive again from the dead to make you right with God. No excuse. No excuse, Kilmarnock. Question is, what are you going to do about it? Will you believe? Will you turn? Will you repent? Will you believe? Will you trust in? Will you put your confidence in the person of God's Son who has done everything, accomplished everything necessary for your salvation? Will you wait upon God for His salvation? Will you trust in Him? God is good. God has done everything. All that's necessary, needful, in order for you to get back to God and not to die in your sin, not to die in your unrighteousness, not to die in your ungodly, not to die and be lost for all eternity. So the Sabbath says here, but hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help and I lift up my hand. Lift up your hands to your Maker. Cry in faith. Believing that Jesus Christ is willing, more willing to save you than you are willing to be saved. Not to believe that Jesus is willing to save you is just as bad, is just as wicked as saying that there is no God. It's the same wickedness as atheism. Jesus died for sinners, for the ungodly, in love for them, weeping for them, dying for them, rising for them, and more than willing to save you today, commandment sinners, should you come to Him in the prescribed way, in God's appointed way, in the way of repentance. Turning, that is. Turning, always turning. Not just once, not just twice. All your life long, turning. Turning away from what is contrary to God.
Look at that. Wow.
Turning and turning from that which is contrary to God. And turning to his son Jesus Christ, who welcomes you with open arms here today, in your presence, in your midst here today, to welcome you into his kingdom in the way of repentance and faith, trusting, believing in the Son of God. Hear the voice of my pleas. Jesus assures us that if we ask God anything in his name, he will do it. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help. That would be the first call, would it not? For help. Help to believe. Help to cry for mercy. Because that's the one thing that we need more than anything else, is God's mercy. But mercy there is. Abundant. Mercy in the heart of God for sinners. Mercy, I tell you, mercy. And free. Come without cost. No cost to you. The cost is immense to God. Out of his heart of love, he sent his only Son into the world to die on a cross. God stepped over his love for his Son in love for you, Kilmarnock sinners, that you might be changed, that you might be transformed by the mercy and the love of God, and made a new creature in Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, when you stand before God in judgment, that's the only thing that matters, a new creature. All your imaginary good deeds, all your imaginary goodness, none good, says God, and none who do good. Not at all. No goodness in man. Not at all. Goodness in God, but not man. No. Turn from your imaginary goodness. No goodness in you at all, Kilmarnock, but goodness in God. And out of the goodness of God, he has the gospel declared amongst you here today. And hearing the gospel, hearing the message of God's salvation, hearing the truth as it is in Jesus, only truth that there is. You have the justification. You have the warrant. You have the warrant to believe. Whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever your sins are, however dark they might be, and however long you've been at it, you have the justification today in hearing the gospel, the overtures of God's love. You have the justification to believe. Nothing hinders you but unbelief. That's all. Turn from it. Turn your back on. I've got a life, sir. Jesus gave it to me. You get one too. If you turn to him, call upon his name, sir, you will be saved. He'll give you life. 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 Everlasting, eternal life. Welling up within you. Repent of the unbelief. Turn from it. And embrace the Son of God. Worship, adore him. He who lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead to deliver Kilmarnock sinners from their sin, their guilt, their shame, their blame, the curse of God, the wrath of God, to deliver them from it all and set them free. The love of God, the power of the gospel, the power of his love to save a Kilmarnock sinner today in the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God. The gospel freely presented to you, offered to you, Jesus Christ. Receive him, take him, your own. Make him your savior by faith. Believe on into the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. God's assurance to you here this afternoon. You'd like to have a copy of God's word, his written word. It's offered to you quite freely. Read for yourself. See, check these things out. Don't take my word for it. The word of God, able to make you wise. The wisdom of God, that is, that leads to salvation. You'd like a copy of God's written word? Got a Bible? Like one? New Testament? This Gospel of Mark? You've got a question? Bring it to us. Like to try and answer it for you? You'd like somebody to pray for you? Gladly, happily do that. And remember the words of Jesus the Savior. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent, Kilmarnock, repent, repent, repent. Turn, turn, turn. Why will you die, says the Lord? Turn and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand.